Hello, friends and neighbors. This is Dave Slusher with the Evil Genius Chronicles, evilgeniuschronicles.org. It is Sunday, October 3rd, 2004. This will be a little subdued. You know, those of you who saw my text blog know that Thursday night my aunt died. And so we went to the, it wasn't the funeral, it was a little memorial service on Friday night. And then Saturday we hung around with the family a little bit and came home. And so, I want to talk a little about my Aunt Christine. I'm not going to make this a big eulogy, and, I've talked so much about dead people in this audio blog in its short life, but, so my Aunt Christine, my brother wrote up a very nice little thing about her on Friday morning, and she had Down syndrome. And in the almost 40 years that I knew her, although it's hard to say that I ever knew her well, you know, I loved the woman. She was very sweet, and sometimes it seemed kind of like you weren't exactly sure how much was her and how much was this kind of like coping mechanisms that she had learned over the course of her life. She had this tendency to parrot back to you what you said, so you can never tell how much she was. You know, how much she was understanding and how much was just her kind of reflexive stuff. But it's weird because we went back and looked at some of the photos, and I guess we didn't do it today, but I have done it before. And when you look at the pictures, she wasn't that much older than me. She was the youngest of her four, the four siblings. And so she was like eight or 10 years younger than my mom. So she was only maybe 10 or 12 years older than me. And so you see a lot of pictures where I'm a baby and she's a teenager, you know, at Christmases and things like that. And I swear to God, she's always holding me. I mean, we're always together in these pictures. It's kind of amazing. And she had said at previous times that I was always her favorite of the cousins. I don't know if that actually held, because my brother actually lived with her for a few years, but at least, you know, when we were kids, I was the favorite of the cousins, and I definitely did love the woman. It's funny, because if you go by sheer monetary value, of her four brothers and sisters, she was the biggest success. She, like, starting very young, she was a housekeeper in hospitals in Lincoln, Nebraska. And she lived with my grandpa and grandma, and my grandpa, being the odd duck he was, you know, made her pay rent and made her pay a third of the groceries. She basically didn't have any other expenses, so she just saved up her money. Well, at some point, I think she was approaching six figures, because she's earning this money, and she's not spending any of it, other than, you know, yarn for crocheting. And so after, you know, my grandma died and my aunt moved down to Augusta she bought a house across the street from my mom. Paid cash. I mean, she had the inheritance from my grandparents, but she didn't even touch that. When she did the house purchase, that was out of her own bank account. She just wrote a check for this house. Kind of crazy. So she was, you know, in a lot of ways, you look at her and you think she was dealt a bad hand, but we always kidded her about being the money bags of the family, and she was. She was. She used to go out. One of her big things she did, and really almost her only hobby besides knitting and crocheting, is this woman bowled, which put her and my dad, that was their shared passion. That was their thing they synced up on, was bowling. And so she had her Special Olympics bowling league that she was a part of. And you had this, I mean, I wish I had videotape. If I had videotape of her bowling, I would put it up on the website so you could see this. She had this sidearm delivery because she was morbidly obese. So you couldn't just do a normal swing around your hips because there's so much hip. So she had this weird kind of, she would swing around her body and then kind of let go. It was hell on those lanes because you could hear the ball punk, punk, and it would roll down the alley. But you watch her and she's swinging this bowling ball around her body, and she'll bowl like a 190. I mean, she can bowl better than me, with this weird ass delivery. It was unbelievable to watch. And at the memorial service on Friday night, a lot of her little bowling buddies were there. And my mom had brought a lot of stuff. She brought pictures and like stuffed kitties and things from my aunt's house. There was almost a fist fight over the stuff as these, you know, her friends were asking, can I have this? Can I have this? And there were two of them. I think it was the stuffed cat that really caused this. There was almost a fist fight at the funeral. As these kids, I don't know how old they are. I think they're all in their 20s or 30s. But these two of her, these people wanted that and they couldn't decide amongst themselves. So the one who didn't get the kitty actually scored big because she got Christine's bowling ball. And so, and this very insistent girl with Down syndrome, and she called my mom Saturday morning and was asking when she could bring the bowling ball by. And then I said, oh, do you have anything else you want to give me? So my Aunt Christine, luckily we got to see her, two or three weeks ago when the whole family came out to Myrtle Beach. Which, you know, I'm glad. I would feel kind of guilty if we had moved back, you know, within this range and then not seen her, you know, right before she died. And she had, last year at Christmas, we had gotten her this shirt from Mama Meow, which is actually in Chicago. And so we had got this personalized shirt with her cat's names on it. It was a big sweatshirt. And since it was in North Chicago on Devon Street, I just drove down and picked it up. You know, I didn't, no need to mail order it when you can, 10-minute drive from the joint. And it was a big hit at Christmas, and she wore this thing. I think she wore it like 4 days a week to the limit of when it would just get too scungy to wear. And she had sent us a letter not that long ago asking for the next, it was like in June, she's asking for a Christmas present. She wanted another of the Meow shirts, but in short sleeves so that she could wear it when it was warm out. And we said, well, screw it. No sense in waiting till winter to get this when you can't wear it. So we just bought her another one, and we gave it to her when they were up here at our house. And we're so glad that we did, because she actually had it and, you know, wore it for a few weeks. And, you know, she wouldn't have made it to her next birthday or Christmas. So, you know, that would have never happened. And, you know, we might have had the lingering guilt there. But as it was, you know, she got to enjoy it for a few weeks. But so in some ways, it wasn't that unexpected per se. I mean, it was unexpected. I didn't even know she was in the hospital, but she had all kinds of health problems and was in and out of the hospital. But like 4 years ago, something like that, she was actually on a respirator and doing so poorly that we were discussing whether or not to turn it off. And she recovered from that. And so really the last 4 years have kind of been bonus time. So it's tough to be too sad that she had four extra years beyond the point where reasonably she might not have made it. But it's still sad. I mean, she wasn't even 49 years old. But I miss her, and I loved her, and goodbye, Christine. Which brings me to another topic, which is, it's the same topic, really. Having lost both, you know, I lost Christine just now, I lost my dad, you know, at age 59, a little over a year and a half ago. One of the things I think is most harmful in American society is this notion of the men have to be these tough guys. This fucking John Wayne, Clint Eastwood tough guy. And I think it's just harmful. I don't know how it is the rest of the world. You know, I don't know if the people that listen to this, you know, in Europe and elsewhere, if your cultures have this. But we have it, and it sucks, and I hate it. There's just no, it doesn't do anything for you. And so having kind of lost people suddenly, recently, I'm trying to alter my viewpoint and get rid of this macho tough guy horse shit, which just does nothing for you. So the people that I care about, I'm going kind of the other way, to be so sappy that, you know, I'm bugging people. But, you know, when I see friends and they mean something to me, you know, when we leave, I tell them I love them. I mean, if I do love you, I'm going to tell you, because I've decided anytime you say goodbye, that could be it. So, God damn it, if that's what you mean, you had to get it out there now, because there ain't necessarily a whole lot of time to do it again later. And, you know, you don't want to, you don't want the last thing you said to one of your friends to be, hey, kiss my ass. You know? So let them know that you love them. There's really no downside to this. And nobody will think you're a pussy. And if they are, just kick them in the nuts, because fuck them. If they think that you're a pussy for letting them know that they matter to you, get rid of that friend and get one that matters. Jesus Christ. So that's the way, you know, there's no sense in bottling these emotions for another day, because I may not have another day, you may not have another day, so let's get it on the table now. So that's that, no sense in running on forever. Back to the world of podcasting and audio blogging. The thing I hated most about the setup, the Hugo 9000, was GarageBand. Now, I've successfully got GarageBand out of the loop by using Line-In from Rogue Amoeba. I saw Steve Ivey left me a comment asking if I had seen this thing called SoundSource, which looked to be similar to Line-In, but it gives you a little icon in the menu bar that lets you do a quick pick on your sound stuff. And I thought, oh, cool, even better. The problem is that doesn't actually do what we need. You can't get rid of Line-In for SoundSource, because SoundSource is just like a quick picker for the stuff from the system preferences, but it's not a router. It doesn't accept input from one place and send it to something else. It just lets you shorthand, you know, change the settings without opening the system dialog. So I think Line-In, at least as far as I can tell, is as pared down as it gets. SoundSource is not equivalent with it. It doesn't do the same things. So, but I've got the setup I like now. It works much better, I think, than when GarageBand was in the loop. And other than the latency, which I'm still working on and is still driving me crazy, and you can still hear me talking funny because of it with the like quarter-second delay in my headphones from what I'm saying, I suppose if I do this enough, I might get used to it. The thing that bothers me more than the thought of flubbing is the fact that this very weird delay might actually become normal to me. God knows what that will do to my speech patterns. Heard a thing on Brainwagon a few days ago, and I was going to play some of it on here, but there's so much good stuff that there's no point. I would be playing most of his episode. But he was talking about audio blogging in particular. And we really need to separate out audio blogging and podcasting. I noticed that people have these kind of things kind of tied up in their minds to the point where people are saying, why do I care about podcasting? It's just audio blogging. And so we need to get these apart. But so he was talking about audio blogging, and he had a lot of very sensible things about copyright and how when the big media starts lashing out, as we know they will, and the NAB and the RIAA may become unholy allies in this. One of the things they're going to start doing is leaning on people that violate copyright in these audio blogs. So he suggests don't use any copyrighted music. Use stuff under Creative Commons. You know, use Magnatune stuff. Use things that are made freely available. But don't use the big machine music, because it might come back. And that might be the thing that comes back. Someone might sue you for it. And I can't disagree with that. That's a very pragmatic, sensible outlook. To that end, I have probably stopped using any kind of big media music. I think I'm going to do just what he says, and only stuff for which I've explicitly got permission or has a Creative Commons license or things like that. Because, you know, I don't want to be at the butt end of one of these suits my damn self. In fact, I even sent an email to Flat Earth Records, you know, explaining what I'm doing with the Gentle Reader song that's the theme / music bed, and asking for permission and letting them know I use it, and giving them an opportunity to ask me to cease and desist. So we'll see what they say. If they say it's cool, then it's cool, and I'll have, you know, actual permission for it. And if not, we might be changing that. I'd hate that, but we might be doing it. But it seemed like the right thing to do, send that email. Got an email from Link Fessenden from the Linux Link Tech Show, which I listened to and talked about the other day. And it's funny because so I got his email, read it, and also saw his blog entries. And he seemed to think it was pretty funny that I called them like nutty and maniacs. And he said, "I can live with that." But these guys are podcasting now. They caught the religion and they've got the RSS feed for their show. And I subscribed to it. And although I had already gotten, I'd already listened to the episode, it came down. And now when the next one goes up, I'll get that. And I think that's beautiful. They had nice things to say about the show. And they didn't even bust on me in the fact that I think I've been getting the title of their show out of order. I think I was calling it the Link Linux Show. But I could swear I heard them say it both ways. So, maybe I'm just a bone rod, which, it's hard to ever completely discount that. But, so, the Linux Link Tech Show, I liked it. And I'm planning on listening every week now. And it'll just show up in my iTunes, and that's beautiful. Did I have anything else to say about that? I don't think so. But I played the clip on the last one of these that I did of them talking about this. And one of the guys, saying that he used Git enclosures for his podcast client. And I thought that was cool. And I'm very pleased that these guys are getting the religion because, like I was saying before, we got to prove that podcasting is bigger than audio blogging and that it's just a channel. And audio blogs, one thing that can come down through it, and like traditional radio could be. There's no reason why Fresh Air couldn't be podcast or BBC programs. And so these guys are doing stuff more kind of like the traditional radio style. So if they're podcasting, maybe that will help kind of emphasize in people's minds that podcasting's it's not a limit. It doesn't describe the content. It just describes the mechanism. So more power to y'all. And also, kind of in similar vein, Mike Dunn on Pneumatic Audio, he had a post about the kind of revisionist history. And saying, it's funny when you think about this, we're talking about something that is less than 2 months old, really. And he was talking about, he was pointing to my post trying to get in front of, when I was talking about Doc and his reimagining of the podcast term and trying to keep up with who invented it. And he sort of rightly points out that that's not the productive way to go. And, I had independently arrived at that feeling myself, is that, that was my outburst. I got that out of my system. But I'm not going to go around correcting everybody for the history of time here, because there's nothing to that. That doesn't gain you anything. When the tide comes up, you could rail at the tide, or you could build boats and teach people how to paddle. And I think I'm going to spend my time building boats and teaching people how to paddle. But it is important to me, I think, that we do deal with this kind of onslaught of new people. And so part of the thing that bugged me about Doc, and I swear to Christ, I'm going to quit talking about it with this one. This is getting it out of my system. I just had this, and I know Doc will appreciate this because he spent a lot of time in North Carolina. I had this kind of carpet-bagging feeling. And yeah, I got to get past that because I know that this is just going to happen more and more. This feeling of people just arriving and now wanting to change the rules of the whole game. And I guess that's going to happen as people get on board. And we've got to, as Mike also points out in his post, this is bigger than all of us. And we got to kind of, the people who are here at the core and at the beginning of this are going to have to admit that it's going to grow far beyond us and far beyond our control. So we just have to do what we can do right now to make sure that to shape the charge of this explosion. It's going to explode. The best we can hope is to try to aim it away from things that will hurt and aim it towards things that will help. It's like being a demolition man. We're shaping the charges, but we can't really control the explosion. And so to that end, and Danny Gregory, the brilliant bastard who coined the term, as we remember, had a really good idea, and that's that I should record like a post or two posts, one of which would be, what is podcasting and why should it matter to me? Which would be a user, uh, a a user-focused, like, FAQ, you know, an audio FAQ, about just describing, you know, what it does, what, you know, how this mode of interaction works, you know, what kind of tools you would use, what that gains you, why should I care? Essentially, a FAQ. And then do maybe another one, which is, how can I podcast? You know, if I'm already an existing, you know, radio station or something with existing audio content, what do I need to do? Well, just write an RSS. If I want to audio blog, what do I need to do? And that would be kind of a longer, more focused, more technical thing. But that I should record these two posts and then make it so that in my RSS, those are always the first two posts. So any of these new people coming onto the party that subscribes to this, they'll get those. They'll, the very first thing is, what is podcasting? So, like, as reporters and you know, new people come along to find this, the very first thing they'll hear from me will be me describing what is audio blogging, what is podcasting, you know, how they're the same, how they're different, what does it matter, how does that alter the world? And that's a really good idea, and I think that might be something that should be done. And maybe I'll even do it today. I might do that in lieu of an entry tomorrow, just try to record those facts. And I'll try to do it in such a way that if I get input from people and I need to alter some of it, I can edit it most easily. So I'll, you know, keep the original source around and try to make it with enough gaps and you know, at a slow enough pace that if I need to edit some words or edit some sentences or paragraphs, I can go back and record new ones and drop them in over the old ones. So instead of just being, you know, like one of these daily posts that you do, then it becomes a historical document and rolls kind of through the history of it. This would be kind of a living document that would be updated and continually sort of kept, you know, kept in sync, you know, kept up to date, which might be really difficult. I haven't thought through all the implications of this. I might be buying myself a world of pain by trying to go this way. But as an experiment and as a thing to do, it might be really helpful. So let's give it a shot and see how it goes. And what I'm asking for is all the regular listeners to this podcast, you'll get this because I'll publish it in the same RSS and at some point it'll come in. So when I do this, give it a listen, give it a really critical listen and see from the perspective of somebody who knows nothing about any of this. Is this helpful? Does this tell them what they need to know? Does this inform them on why podcasting is important? Will they walk away from this knowing what we think they need to know? And send me that feedback, because hopefully this should be an important document for people. And such a thing should exist, because we don't want the misconceptions to take over. And so I think it's kind of important to stay on top of this. And I believe I'm gonna wrap it up from there. I don't, you know, I had some actualities I wanted to play, but you know, I'm still. It would be misspeaking to say that I'm really grief stricken, because I was kind of ready for, you know, even though I didn't know my aunt was gonna die, it wasn't the furthest thing, you know, it wasn't the most impossible seeming event at any given time, but. You know, I would not say that I'm on the top of my game. You know, I still feel kind of sad and kind of low energy. So, I'll work through this and try to think of the material for the audio FAQ. And feel free to send me some. If you got a point that you think needs to go in such a thing, send it to dslusher@gmail.com. And, you know, I'll kind of incorporate all of it, and that'll be the audio FAQ. And we'll see how it goes. So. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for the condolences and you know, the nice thoughts are the way of me and my family. We all appreciate it. So thank you very much, and I will catch you again next time. Bye.